with his family, but Brett never was Jake an awkward. Just hanging out and talking dad stuff.
Don't give school dads any dad guff.
So take a knee, use inside voices. We're talking no malarkey, tire pressure, playing catch, time a corner, doing raids. It's your bedtime, eat your veggies. Pull up a lawn chair and open some suds. Crack some dad jokes with these dad buds. You better behave or they'll turn this damn car right around. Radioactive dads.
Oh, effing much. And she just wants to be
I can't wait for our kids to hang out again.
I can't wait for our kids to hang out again, because by the time this stinking lockdown is over, they're going to be wholly different human people, and they're going to be able to actually talk to each other. And yeah, everything is going to be, it's literally, I feel like this is going to be like stepping out into a new planet with all new people and relationships, and like everything's just going to be starting over. Whenever this happens, this may be like next year that this happens. I don't even know at this point.
I don't know either. You know how we, because we don't put any pictures of the kids online. Like they don't even have their own like private Instagram account or anything silly like that. Like we just have never done anything like that. So the way that we share pictures with friends and family and whatever is like just by texting, emailing, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I sent a picture of the girl to her godfather, so one of my best buddies, and he literally called and was just like, that's not her. Like, there's no way. Like, that she looks like a little girl now, like, not like a toddler anymore. And I was like, I know. It's crazy. Because, like, you know, their faces start to kind of lean out. They get taller. Mm-hmm. It's just, it was just one of those moments where I was like, yeah, man, it's been like 4 months or whatever, 5 months or whatever it's been, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
it's just going to be... Man, they're not even going to really recognize each other.
No, they're not. It's literally going to be starting over. Like she had a little best buddy who she would hang out with all the time, who she now hasn't seen for a significant percentage of her life.
Yeah.
And when they were together, they couldn't talk yet. So they were just kind of there. Now they're going to have like a cute little friend relationship, and they're going to play together, and it's actually going to, I can't wait.
It's going to be great.
Yeah. And
well,
like,
you know, we were talking about because our boy is supposed to start kindergarten in the fall. Uh-huh. And LAUSD decided that they're just going to be doing all online stuff. And so, or like Zoom calls, I guess. I don't know what they're going to be doing.
Zoom for kindergarten.
But it's going to be all virtual. And so, but this was going to be his going to kindergarten. And so that's a very strange thing to kind of have taken away from you the first time, dropping them off and all that stuff that goes along with being a parent with it. But then obviously from the kid's point of view, also all the, you know, just all the social things and everything else. But then we kind of just figured, well, this is going to be all of their experiences. So at least when he's 17, him and all his friends will be going, remember how we did kindergarten online? And that's a communal experience now. So I mean, there will be other kids in other districts that didn't do it that way, and we'll see how those things shake themselves out. But at least for him and the immediate kids around him, if we end up staying here and whatever long-term, so we were kind of like comforted by that. Well, at least it's happening to everybody.
Right. Yeah,
that we know.
That's true.
That is such
immediate
area.
It's such a weird way to start your whole life's schooling experience.
Yeah.
It's like on a screen rather than that.
I wonder though if it's because we were thinking, okay, is it better to start that experience? And of course, nobody really knows the answer. We won't know for a while till they study all these kids. But is it better to have it start on the screen like this? Or is it better to start in person, but trying to wear a mask, and then you try to keep the mask on the kids, and the kids can't really understand the teacher because they can't see his or her mouth. And so it's all kind of weird anyway. And then they only go for like 10 days because then someone tests positive and then they all get sent home again. And you know what I mean? It's like, it seems like it'll be less chaos, and it'll just be like, maybe they just look back and chuckle at it, hopefully.
Right. Yeah. I think so. I feel like having a kid, that's going to be so much more distracting than educational when all of that other non-school related stuff is happening.
Yeah. And the anxiety that you have as a parent dropping them off every day, because, you know, they're not only just around the other kids, but they're around the different teachers and office staff and, you know, whatever else too.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You got to worry about them bringing something home to you, or you giving something to them, and then the whole school, you know, different parents dropping off and picking up. There's just so many variables. It just seems kind of silly to me, but I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. We're kind of in the same boat, because Rosie was supposed to start preschool this fall too.
Yeah.
And it was only going to be 2 days a week, but now we don't even know, like, as far as we know, they're open. And we also don't want to like lose our spot, because it's kind of, you know, in demand, and we don't want to, you know, it was a school that we loved, and we loved the teachers there and everything. And Rosie would really benefit from it because of just being able to be social with kids. But now it's like, is this even okay to do, you know?
Right.
And we don't know now if she did end up getting COVID with us. We don't know if she even has antibodies. So like, is she immune? Will she be immune by the time school starts? You know, like, that was our main motivation for even getting out of the house after we had COVID, was it seems like everyone agrees that you have antibodies for about 2 months, or maybe a month if you were asymptomatic, but long-term immunity is not guaranteed. So, you know, we'd feel better about it if there was guaranteed immunity where, you know, if she was exposed, we know she won't get it. You know,
do you have any plans to donate plasma or anything like that? Have you thought about that?
So, yeah, because we're out of state, we haven't been in our medical system to be able to do that. But because we left basically as soon as we, and for the people who were doing the math that were listening to last episode saying, why is he out of state right now when he just had COVID? We left basically right after we cleared the CDC guidelines that say, once you do these things and once your body reacts this way, you're fine to continue normal life. But we did it like shortly after, so we didn't have time to get the antibody testing. So you can't give plasma until you definitely are confirmed to have antibodies. Mm-hmm. And so we were going to do that as soon as we got home. Let's go ahead and get tested. And then if so, go ahead and donate. And it's a bummer because it's not a huge deal. I've given blood before and I had an allergic reaction to it. And so they recommended that I don't give blood in the future. But it was pretty mild, and if that happens again, it wouldn't be a huge deal, and I'd rather give some of that plasma if it literally means, like, saving someone's life in a pandemic in exchange for some hives and bruising, you know?
Right.
So I would do it regardless, but we have to have – they don't let you do it until you have a positive antibody test. So that'll be our thing once we get back home.
Well, speaking of, you know, being out of state and everything, let's use this episode to get caught up on what we have been doing and all the time, because we haven't had new episodes in some weeks and stuff like that. And so let's use this episode to catch up and figure out what we have been doing and how we've been going about it during this time. But right now we got to take a break, and then we'll
already
be right back.
Yep.
We're going to do an early one because I know that once you and I get talking about what we've been doing lately, it's going to go long. So, break here and then longer segment on the other side of it. This is Radioactive Dads. I'm Brett. He's Nathan. We'll be right back. All right, Nathan, I'll let you kick it off. After COVID was over and after you cleared all the CDC guidelines and, you know, quarantined yourselves and all that kind of stuff, it was time to hit the open road, right? And so where are you, and what are you doing, and how are you going about it and making sure you're staying safe and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah. So first, once we cleared all the guidelines, we got a short notice flight, went to Colorado because our family, they come out every summer to go up to the Rocky Mountain National Park and just do nature stuff, hike and backpack and all that business. So some of that family was still there at the time that we were cleared. So we said, hey, can you, if you're flexible, can you stay there? Can we still come and join you and at least have a few days doing that? And so they changed their plans. They stuck around. We flew out once we were healthy and went straight into that, went right up to the mountains, which I'm going to be honest, post-COVID at 12,000 feet and with a 50-pound pack on your back, hiking, you know, a couple thousand feet in a couple hours was challenging, especially when you haven't done cardio in like 4 weeks because you know, you're stuck in home and then you had COVID. So obviously you're just laying around on your fat butt and, you know, you're not really exercising. So we went kind of from zero to hero. And there was a couple days there where, you know, it definitely felt like it was harder work than it normally would have been under normal circumstances. That said, the one upside of losing our sense of taste and smell up to that point was that we were just cramming the healthiest things that we possibly could and just like making smoothies full of disgusting powders and vegetables. And because as long as it was frozen,
anyway.
Exactly. Yeah. So we were just like, just imagine that this is like a Jamba Juice that's full of raspberry sherbet and horrible, unhealthy stuff. And just close your eyes and don't look at how brown and green it is.
That's fine. And
yeah. So we were at least eating healthy. I lost 10 pounds from So, and I'm putting it right all on back right now. And I'll tell you that. But so we at least were eating really healthy going into it, but it was really hard, like just at altitude, trying to breathe after not being able to breathe very well for a while. So
now you were doing a pretty strict like vegan thing going into your symptoms or going into having your symptoms and stuff. Did you break that during that? Did you want a little extra protein? What did you change anything up?
The one texture thing that was really good was just ground turkey. It was the one thing that just did not feel gross in my mouth. I did do a decent amount of ground turkey. And then my sense of taste actually came back pretty quick. It was only like 4 or 5 days where it was totally gone. And then it slowly started coming back. London's, I think hers is almost all the way back now, but hers took like 2 weeks. And she was getting really depressed because she is such a foodie and she gets so much fun out of like trying new stuff and cooking new stuff. And the fact that she couldn't even taste anything whatsoever was really starting to just get straight up depressing. And so most of the time while we were in Colorado, she couldn't taste and that was really hard. And then it slowly, fortunately started coming back right toward the end of that leg. And, you know, I think she's got it almost back now. And I'm pretty sure I do too. But
was
for some
people,
Rocky
Mountain oysters that did it?
Yeah, it must have been.
Brought
low hanging fruit.
Yep. Snapped it right back, right?
Yep. Well done. Look at you. Balls.
Hey, you said she's into trying new things.
You're right. I did team myself up for that, didn't I?
Okay.
But now I'm not going to go down the rabbit hole because we know how long that took in the last episode. I'm not going to take the bait, Brett.
Okay. All right.
You can get me once a month, but then after that, I'm too wise to you. But then
that's
I know
what
you'll...
she said. Oh!
Dang it! Dang it, Brett!
Yes! He still got it. The kids still got it. All right.
Wow. Oh, man. There's no way around you.
It took her longer to get the taste back.
Yeah. So, and that was like her last lingering side effect. And we weren't really concerned about it because they said it can take weeks, months, or in some bad cases, years, like to fully get your sense of smell back.
Wow.
And we were like hoping that that wasn't the case. But we knew that it was at least on the record that it was possible when this type of thing happens, that it can take a little while for some people. And when she got her symptoms, she never got respiratory stuff like me. She never felt it in her chest, but she was really congested. So her infection was more in her nose. So it made sense that her sense of smell was gone longer than mine. So that was kind of part of that whole deal. But fortunately, so she got it back, you know, toward the end. I can't even remember how we got back. Oh, so we lost a bunch of weight before we got there. And we were like eating really healthy and everything. So that at least kind of fueled us for this part of the leg. But we did a lot of backpacking, went up into the trails. It was only at 60% capacity because of COVID. They were doing a reservation system to get into the national park. So there weren't really as many people around. So it was kind of nice because you weren't running into a lot of people and it was easy to get from place to place and stuff. So we did that for a few days, just kind of tried to get back in shape and just letting Rosie get out of the backpack and run around on rocks and in trees and go explore.
Yeah.
For the first time in like 5 months, she was in heaven, just getting to see something big and open and new. So that was really our big motivation was just, you know, we want to give her a change of scenery because she just is so cooped up and she's getting really frustrated, you know, being here. So once she could get out, she was just so happy the whole time and hiked a lot. Like she would go for hours and just be climbing all over rocks and exploring. And it was just really, really nice to see her be in kind of her preferred environment. So we did that for a while and then packed up and drove for 2 days from Colorado to Michigan, which is where my in-laws live. And I was really scared because Rosie does not do well on road trips, but they had the added benefit of in one of their cars having a DVD player. And
oh, yeah.
It's amazing how suddenly a DVD player can take your child from maxing out at 4 hours to being able to drive 19 hours and with almost no stops and just be completely content. It was amazing.
Like, from the back seat, they start suggesting that you keep driving. They're like, no, just keep going, Pops. Like, we don't need to stop for anything. Yeah. Woody and Buzz are about to get out of this one again. Let's keep going.
Exactly. It was, I had no idea because our cars do not have DVD players, and now I need a car with a DVD player.
Well, because since you brought it up, I can tell you that we do have a car with a DVD player in it. It's like all built into the roof and everything. Uh-huh. And our rule has always been that the drive has to be longer than the movie would be.
Right.
In order to use the DVD player. So if we're just like, they will do an hour and 10 minutes in the car, no problem, no DVDs, just listening to music, just looking out the window. There are those crazy kids who can read in the car. I was never able to do that when I was a kid, but our kids can. And so they like look at books and whatever they do.
Right.
But once the drive is about, you know, anywhere between, like if it's like 2.5, 3 hours, then we're like, all right, fine. We'll do like one DVD or something like that. We try to be really responsible with it, but man, they love it. And you're so right. And if my parents would have had a DVD player in the car when I was a kid, I would have never complained about driving from Seattle to Missouri every summer. It would have been fine.
Exactly. Yeah, for sure. So our kids have it great because we were always the same way as we were. It was like, bring your books, bring your music, and, you know, get in the car and look out the window because you're going to be in it for the long haul. So buck up. But yeah, not anymore. Nope. We just popped those bad boys on and she was great. She had a great time. And, you know, she wasn't even, and that was the funny, she wasn't even watching the whole time. We would take a couple hour breaks, you know, between longer stretches, and she was fine. She would still just like play and talk and look out the window and talk about stuff. So, it was a good balance, but man, that's the only way that she wasn't going to get antsy on this trip.
I have to say also a tip out there for everybody. If you're road tripping, that we found, and cause we've been doing a lot about, a lot of the same stuff lately that we'll talk about in a second, but, rest stops, bathroom wise is the answer, because I've been talking to, you know, my mom, my dad, whatever. They're like, how are you doing it? Where do the kids go to the bathroom? Are you just doing it at fast food places? And I'm like, well, first of all, no, because we're taking all of our food with us in coolers, because I don't even want to do drive-thrus, because just like, why? And it's also healthier and whatever. Yep. So we've been taking the food with us, and just rest stops is so easy. They're right off the thing. They're, you know, they're, you run into a bad one every now and then, but you run into a bad fast food bathroom too. So
90%
of
the time.
Your chances. Yeah. And we have like a can of Lysol spray and some wipes and some paper towels and whatever. And like, I go in and like literally clean the place almost like I make a, like almost like a boxing glove out of paper towels. And like, I go at it, before the kids get in there, and it's fine. And it's right off the highway. You get right back on. It's very easy. There's usually never anybody there really.
Yeah.
So anyway, little tip for everybody.
And it's funny, that is literally textbook exactly what we did. That was kind of the only place we stopped, was going to rest stops.
Because then you only have to stop for gas, really. As far as like exposing yourself to anything for real, it's just gas pumps.
Exactly.
And you pay for those right at the pump. You don't have to deal with anybody.
Right, yeah. Yeah, you use your elbow to punch the buttons and call it a day.
Totally.
Because we did the same, that we packed food in coolers, so we were able to just like stop, whip out some food, eat it real quick, let Rosie run around in the grass and get back in the car and go.
Yeah.
And that was enough, you know?
Yeah.
That's a great tip. And I concur, because that's the only way that we got out of this trip too. So anyway, we arrived. Rosie had her second day. We kept trying to get her to nap in the car. God bless her. She refused. We got in really late. We did stay at a hotel between the two nights, that was just kind of out of the way. And she only slept like 8 or 9 hours, and she normally sleeps 12. So we were like, dang, she is absolutely going to need a nap. The next day, after getting 8 hours of sleep, she was awake for 18 hours with no nap. Wow. And was fine the whole time. And she fell asleep in the car in like the last hour of the trip when it was 2 o'clock in the morning. So wow. I don't know that kid, she blew my mind, and that I was proud of her.
Well, she kept waiting for you to put another DVD in the magic machine.
Yeah, no, that is true. Yeah. She knew her system. She knew what she was doing. But yeah, I was pretty shocked. But then she, you know, she acclimated to the new time zone and everything really well. And we've only been here for a few days now, but she's already just in heaven. There's, you know, I had no idea how much she loves her big toys, like her four wheeler and her boat and her all the stuff here that we don't have in California because there's no place to put them. But she is just loving like open space and getting to ride around on stuff and run, and there's ducks and there's dogs and there's just so many more things for her to do on this big like open space. And there's family around, there's more people for her to play with and just interact with, rather than just being stuck at home. And we'll probably be here for, well, I don't know how long we're going to be here, but it may be for a while, because there's just no reason to go back, no reason to expose ourselves potentially again, if for some reason we did lose our immunity, because we'll never know. There's just far more to do and see and let her get her willies out. Side note, we stopped off at one point. Have you ever like literally seen your children have just like their brains just short circuit and then just start flailing around and making noises? And
well, out of anger or out of excitement?
No, out of like just like punchy, tired silliness.
Oh, like, yeah.
This was the first time on this road trip. It was on the second day, and we were getting real close to where we were going. It was like the last 4 hours, and literally, Rosie was standing in a parking lot, flapping her arms, saying, "Smitty! Smitty! Smitty!" And like, like raspberrying all over the place and jumping off of curbs, and she would like laugh and then cry for like 2 seconds and then start laughing again. And was just like flailing around. I have never seen an actual case of the wiggles like that.
Yeah, like slap happy.
Yeah, completely slap happy. And it was great. It was hilarious. We got her back in the car and we were cracking up for like another hour because she just kept going.
Yeah.
And I never experienced that before. So I was curious if that was something that your children do as well.
You know, it's funny. Our girl does that more than the boy. They've both done it, but the girl does it more often than the boy. So I don't know if that's a thing or not, but that's just how it is. And it's funny when they do it. And it's funny also when you start to realize what they're doing and that they can't stop. And then because at first you're like, what is going on here? And it's like, you know, disorienting a little bit. And then you go, I've felt that before. Oh yeah. Okay. Oh, I get it. Oh, this is just silly and funny. I should just roll with it.
Uh-huh.
And then that's when you know you're a good parent. Good for you. Because like some parents start going like, hey, knock it off. And then, you know, it's like, why? Whoa, what are you so uptight about, Pops? They're just tired and, you know, have been in the car all day and not stimulated in the same way. And so they're just like wigging out a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yep. Yeah, it was very fun.
Yeah, it's fun.
But anyway, so yeah, so that's where we are. That's what we're doing. And we're just kind of relaxing and doing country life for a while. And it's great.
I love it. Good.
But yeah, so you kind of did your own sort of wilderness experience, right? Up in the great California north.
God, I got to tell you, man. Like, all right. In the past, I'm trying to think like actually chronologically right now, but I think in the past month or 6 weeks, if there's been like 6 weekends, we've been camping for 4 of them.
Nice.
We've just been going a lot and it's been awesome. Like I got online and we had a lot of camping equipment already, but a few odds and ends, especially for when you go with the kids. I got a better cooler, you know, it's just some simple things. And I just bought them online and they showed up right to the front door. And then we've just been going because I figured out, and I think I've mentioned it on the show before, but maybe it was one of the other shows. We figured out this dispersed camping thing. Mm. And it sounded really complicated and weird when I first started looking into it, but now doing it, it's so simple and easy. And what it is that in any national forest, so not national park, not national recreation area, there's all these different classifications, but a national forest, for the most part, like 98% of national forests in this country of ours, you can just, once you're on that land, and as long as you're not near an established campground, you can just camp.
Wow.
For free, without telling anyone or getting a permit or doing anything. You just show up, walk out into whatever, or literally just pull your car off the highway into like a turnout, and you can throw down a tent and camp. And it's awesome because in California, especially, the campsites are always booked up all the time because it's so, you know, it's just a popular place to come camp. And so it's kind of a headache sometimes trying to find an open, you know, traditional campsite. But as long as you're fine bringing in all your own water and pooping in the woods, you can just camp wherever you want with, like I said, like no schedule, and it's free. So all you're paying for is the gas to get there and the food. And like you were saying, the kids with the wide open spaces, they're loving it. And So we've been going a lot to the Los Padres National Forest, which is only about 40 minutes north of us. So it's not even a long drive to get to. It's out kind of towards Santa Barbara, geographically here in California. And then there's the Angeles National Forest, which I think is over by more where you are.
It's like between us. Yeah.
Yeah. And you can just, like I said, man, you just, there's these highways that go right through them, and you just take the highway, and then you'll just see these like little dirt roads or these little Forest Service roads and things. And for my whole life, I thought that was only for, you know, park rangers and stuff, and like you weren't allowed to go down those. But in researching it and looking it up, and these, it's all on government websites and stuff, so it's all legit. They want you to use those roads, and they want you to go down them, and they want you to explore, as long as you're, there's a few rules, you know, like you got to look for fire bans and whether you can have fires or not. Like I said, you can't be a certain number of feet within a towards a established campground. And then if you're by a body of water, you need to be like 150 feet away or something. So there's just some very simple rules, you know, pack in your stuff, pack out your stuff, don't leave trash and stuff. But it's, dude, it's been great. It's been so great. It's been so fun. I can't recommend it enough to anyone out there who has kids, who's looking for something to do with your kids. If you're comfortable enough to go to Disneyland, like, well, good for you. If you're not and you're still looking for something to do, it's, for me, it's the great outdoors. The kids love it. They're chasing fireflies at night and stuff, and just having a ball. Deer walking through where we were camping. Wild turkeys walking through where we were camping. It was so cool. Blackberry bushes lining the river, and you're picking blackberries. And I mean, I know it all sounds so like cliche or idyllic or, you know, whatever, like simple or something, but it really is.
Yeah.
And it's all out there. And All you need is a little bit of gas and a tent.
Yep.
And you can just order all that stuff. You know what's funny too? Camping gear is like sold out all over the place. I think a lot of people are doing this.
Yeah, because it's the one thing that seems like there's not really that much of a restriction on it, because it's kind of got built-in social distancing.
That's
you know?
The thing. Yeah, you're never around anybody. We went last weekend and literally from Thursday to Sunday didn't see another person other than ourselves.
Right. Yeah,
and we're out in the middle of nowhere. It was awesome.
Yeah, and I think especially because, like you said, it's sort of the antithesis of what we've been doing, sitting cooped up in four walls.
Yeah.
You know, you're getting out where there's just open air. And I think it does something to the soul when you can finally just get out there and breathe and have no limits, you know?
Like, and there's frustrations and stuff. It's not all perfect. There's bugs and mosquitoes and things like that. But, you know, it's kind of funny. It's like almost like a welcomed challenge or something, and it makes the time go faster. And it's like, you know, I don't know, like trying to figure out how to cook dinner on a camp stove is just something new and different, and you have to figure it out, and it occupies your brain. And it's been really cool, and all the hikes and stuff, because then, you know, during the day you leave the campsite and you go on a hiking trail, and you do see people coming the other way. And I have to tell you, I don't know what it was like in Colorado, but here, like, people stop and they kind of like get off the trail a little bit. And I've had people even just kind of turn their backs, which is like fine by me. You know, they're just trying to be safe and I'm trying to be safe. And some people have masks, some people don't. And, but I feel like people are so separated and give each other such a wide berth that it's all good. And,
yeah,
I don't know, man. It's been really fun and we've been getting a lot out of it. And I know the kids are loving it. I mean, they start asking about the next trip right when we get back from the one before it. So they're having a ball and they love having their own sleeping bags and, you know, all the eating s'mores and all the stuff that goes along with it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's so funny in our different ways. We're literally we're doing the exact same thing. Like all that stuff you described, like up here in Michigan, that's what it is. It's fireflies at night and going out in the woods and picking blackberries and going out by the water and doing fires, doing s'mores, all that stuff. It's I think that this is there. It, this kind of goes back to what we said in the very, very beginning of this whole thing is there's a lot of bad stuff going on. And things are really hard, but if we can manage to pull some of the good out of this, this could be one of those things, you know, of like teaching people to appreciate and not take for granted the outdoors and the ability to just go somewhere and be free and learn to be self-sufficient and to take care of your environment, you know, and pack in and pack out.
Unplug a little bit, you know, there's not also a lot of cell service out there. Yeah. So, and because also like, you know, if your job is a bit on hold right now or whatever, like what do you got to do anyway? So put your phone down and go out there. A lot can be gained from that. I agree.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
We got to take a break. Yeah, we got to take a break. I'm interrupting you because we got. But that's a good place anyway. We'll be back on the other side to chat some more. Stay with us.
All right. So I want to know what. So you've been doing local camping.
Yes.
In kind of the greater Los Angeles and neighboring counties area. But didn't you say you like went for it and kind of road tripped and met in the middle with your family and like really did like a trip? What was the deal with that?
Well, so like I was saying, I think camping is really popular choice for a lot of people out there right now. And my brother, who is 2 years younger than I am and still lives up in the Northwest, has also been bitten by the camping bug. And so he took our family's old GMC Yukon and turned it into like a camping rig by taking out the rear bench seat. And I mean, dude, you would love this stuff. I'm so into this stuff too, obviously. Like,
I know. I'm already envisioning.
He put a bunch of plywood in there and like that, you know, so he made a bed and then under the bed is a bunch of storage and there's compartments and drawers and pulleys and shelfs and, you know, stick them up lights and, you know, like different hooks and more. Hangers and carabiners. And dude,
hooks
it's
and hangers.
It's great. So he turned the old
cigarette after that.
He turned the old family SUV into this like camping thing. And so him and his girlfriend have been loving that. And so we've been chatting about that. And then I've been doing all this camping with the kids. So we said like, this would be the perfect time because his job is all online, much as mine is right now. And his girlfriend was able to get enough time off of work from her job. So we figured out we could meet up halfway. And so what is halfway between LA and, the Seattle area where he lives, Redding, California, which is in Northern California. It's sort of at the base of Mount Shasta. It's right kind of, if you're driving south to north, it's kind of, California is just so flat and has really nothing forever on I-5 once you get out of LA. Redding is right where it starts to become mountainous again before you get into Oregon and stuff. So it's 8 hours for us in the car from LA, eight and a half, eight and change. But then longer when you include the stopping for gas and PP breaks and stuff. So about like 9 hours of driving, 9.5. And then the same for them from Seattle down to there. And so we met up at this lake called Whiskeytown Lake just outside of the town of Shasta, and it's like a man-made lake with a dam at the end of it, and there was a bunch of old mine shafts and stuff around there from way back in the day. So there's a lot of really good hiking to all these old mining encampments and cool stuff to look at. And there's just like a lot of rivers. Lake Shasta's right there, which is a much bigger lake. And so there's just a lot of rivers and lakes and, you know, fresh air and big trees. And we just, I mean, we had a blast. We did book, oh, you know what's funny? We did actually book one of the a campsite for this, but the campsite that we found only had 9 spots. So it was small.
Whoa.
And it said it was all booked up, except for the site that we got. But then nobody showed up the entire time. So we had the whole thing to ourselves. And so wow. it was great because there was like a, it was like a, not a full bathroom situation. It was like a, what do they call them? Vaulted toilets, which I think is just a fancy word for outhouse, basically. Like, you know, hole in the ground, but maintained by the Parks Department. And I have to say, they're not a sponsor of the show, but man, these were some of the cleanest. Like, these were so much cleaner than a porta potty. I can't even describe how much cleaner and nicer they were. The park ranger.
Oh, yeah.
They would drive through the thing every day and like check and empty the trash cans and dumpsters and stuff. Like they're it's so well maintained by the state of California, these certain places. But so the bathroom situation was fine. No running water or anything, but we brought it all. And just, you know, just enjoyed a ton of time out by the lake and swimming and hiking. And it was great. And it was fun to see family face to face. And it was weird. Though upon meeting up, because it's like you have that instinct to just like, you know, throw your arms around each other, but and we you do, but there's that weird like hesitation at first. It's, I don't know, man. I don't know when that's gonna go away. Hopefully it goes away sooner than later. But like I was saying on the last episode, him and his girlfriend, they got tested right before they jumped in the car and drove down, and then we did the same going north, and so everybody knew that everybody was cool, but it just still, I don't know, you know, it's just. It's always sort of, it's just sort of lingering in the back of your head. But once we got past that, we had a ball and everybody was great. And this was weeks ago and everybody's fine. And so, you know, all's good. And we had a really great time and the kids got to run around and see their uncle and all of that stuff. So yeah, it was fantastic. And the road trip was fine. We just did rest stops all the way up. We brought our own food. The kids watched a bunch of movies, which they liked. And, you know, yeah, it's a long drive though. It's a haul. I you know,
yeah.
Good on you guys.
Like 9 hours, right?
Yeah, 9 something. Good for you guys for doing longer because it's a bit.
Yeah, it's a bit. I definitely didn't want to. Like even my adultness, I was like, I don't really want to drive 19 hours. You know,
I know.
But it was really not as bad as I thought it was. Like normally we go. Every summer we drive like 5 hours, kind of to the middle of California, into the Sequoias. Do our like family camping trip up there. And for me, that was generally my longest regular road trip. And maybe it was just because I had been doing it since I was really young and I had it in my head that, oh man, 5 hours, how are we even gonna do that? You know, it just doesn't even seem possible. That's like the whole day gone. So going from that to saying, oh yeah, we're going to do Colorado, Nebraska, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, and most of Michigan in 2 days. That was almost kind of daunting for me because I had just never done anything that long before, really.
Well, I was going to say, you're lucky. Your parents live down in Southern California. Like I have done the LA to Seattle and then of course the return trip, Seattle back down to LA so many times that myself driving, I feel fine. I was just nervous about how the kids were going to take it, but they did fine.
Right.
I recommend it to everybody out there. They'll be fine, everybody. Go have
they
fun.
Really
go
will.
Have an adventure.
Yeah.
Have an adventure. I have to tell you, and we could put links up online or I don't know, but they're not sponsors or anything. But what we did is I got the kids like their own hiking backpacks, you know, that are their size. And you know, they barely carry anything except a few granola bars and their little bottle of water. But we kind of decided like we want them to carry their stuff and be responsible for it so that it becomes a habit so that you know, they're not just like they grow, if they grow up doing it, they won't just start complaining about it sometime, you know? So right. the kids have their yeah. own, we call them their adventure backpacks. And so they each have their yeah. own adventure backpack, and they have their adventure shoes, which are their little hiking boots that I got online for like pretty cheap, and they're perfect and, you know, slightly water resistant, but they're great. And the kids, it's so fun. They just, they have a hobby now, and it's cool. And like you were saying, I mean, it's hard to say like, thank you to this time right now, but with some perspective, it's like, I don't know if we would have been doing this otherwise. So there's that.
Right.
You know,
exactly. Yeah. And just finding the positives. But yeah, I think that it really is kind of the key word. And it's funny. This is so weird. I love seeing a long stretch of time where we haven't been able to talk and then catching up at the end to see what's been going on. Cause that's, we've done the same thing with Rosie. I've started kind of using that keyword of anytime we do anything that's sort of something that she's never done before or something that may be out of her comfort zone, I've almost started making it a keyword to say, come on, Rosie, let's go have an adventure. And she's just started to hear the word adventure and say, I don't know what it is, but I think it's going to be fun. And
has she watched
and
Up
just
yet?
Getting her used to. Yes. Yeah, she has. So yeah. And maybe that was around the time where we started doing it. Cause there's the whole adventure is out there concept.
Adventure's
of that.
Out there. That's right. Yeah.
And so, yeah, so she's been doing kind of the same thing, and we tried to get her a backpack. But then we realized that that just means that I'm going to end up carrying it because she's still not quite big enough
yeah,
she's
to younger.
Do it yep. herself. Cause she goes in my backpack and I carry her. And anytime when we let her out, we tracked it. We were going a mile an hour because she would want to go 10 feet and then stop for a minute and then go again for a little jaunt and then stop. So yeah. we would never have gotten anywhere on our 8 mile hikes if, you know, if we let her go the whole way. But that was our thing, was next year she'll be 3 and that'll be the time, kind of like how your girl is now, where it'll be just that time where you get their little, you know, backpack. And like you said, a little bit of food and a bottle of water, that's all they can carry. But getting them used to that and just making them feel like they're kind of part of the group because everyone else has a backpack. And, you know, like, it's so fun. This whole time has just been so exciting to kind of get them into that.
And
vibe.
Let me say, though, too, it's, you know, it's not all fun and games. Like, there's definitely some complaining, even from the 5-year-old boy. There's definitely some complaining. Luckily, she's light enough that I still just throw her up on my shoulders and just start, you know, traipsing off, and then we're all good. But the thing that we find on these hikes is, like, you got to make a game out of it. You have to figure out, like, like calling it an adventure rather than a hike is, for some reason, seems to do better with them. Again, maybe it's the movie Up. Adventure is out there. Yeah. But also, like, on this one hike we went on, the trail was nice enough to have a bench every so often, or at least when you get to the top of a big hill, there'd be like a bench. And so we just started doing a thing where, like, no, we're going to stop at every bench. So then it just, like, gives them something to look forward to or whatever. Like, you just, it's one of those things where so many of my friends and people we know, I feel like, who have young kids are sometimes, you know, and not their fault or anything, it's understandable, but sometimes afraid to do that thing that's maybe new. Or even to them, you know, as the parents, it might be new. But kids have a great way of adapting and figuring stuff out. And so do you. And you'll figure it out once you're out there. The first step is just getting out there. And you can get out there so cheaply. You can get a little day hiking backpack on Amazon for like less than $20, even for adults. This stuff it's pretty cheap. It's pretty accessible. And I'm telling you, there's just a great big world out there. I mean, I don't have to tell you, Nathan Kress, but to anyone listening who's wondering.
Yeah, no. That's absolutely true. And the comfort zone, I think, is the thing that people are most reticent about. And like you said, like, there's bugs, there's mosquitoes. Like,
oh yeah,
I'm sitting here, I have probably 30 bug bites on me, and I'm pretty sure I have poison ivy on my right pinky toe. But it's okay. You know?
Yeah.
I've been sitting here itching myself for the last hour or so, but it's fine. It's worth it for these experiences that you're getting and for the well-roundedness that it will give your kids, you know, and especially for those who are starting this at a really young age. What we found, and honestly, it's kind of annoying as adults, but it has paid off in spades, is it feels like you're acting, because you are. You're totally stretching it. But if you can instill the sense of wonder in your children at a young age and make everything a whoa type thing, like when we were on those hikes, what made them so interesting was saying, whoa, Rosie, look at that awesome butterfly. And yep. look at that big rock. And look at that mountain over there. Isn't that amazing? And look, there's a fish in the lake. You know, making making a big deal out of that stuff has rubbed off on her, where now she feels that those are really cool things to look out for. And so she, without us even saying anything, is looking for those things. So we'll just be hiking along and she'll say, look at the bird, you know, and she'll start talking about it and what color it is and the sound that it's making. And so yeah. that becomes almost its own game for her, is literally instill the sense of wonder in everything that you see, feel, hear, smell. Stop frequently when you find lamb's ear, that like fuzzy leafy plant on the ground. Let them hold it, let them rub it on their face. It's not gonna hurt them. It feels like a blanket, you know, like just do all that stuff. And honestly, what we've noticed is, and we've done this from the beginning since she was a little baby, what it's done is started to instill that sense of wonder back in us too.
Mm-hmm.
And like we've started kind of believing it ourselves and saying, wow, that really is a gorgeous mountain, you know?
Yes.
And we've started looking at things sort of vicariously through her. And now it's rubbing back on us where when we don't notice things, her sense of wonder and fascination with things is bringing it out in us. So
it paid off
when we started it young.
Yeah, yeah, and to get them interested too, I would recommend something we did is, especially with YouTube and all the resources right inside that device in your pocket, everybody, like start watching stuff on there. Like there's all these like nature videos and like from reputable things, you know, like National Geographic has a great YouTube channel, animals and different parks. You can literally watch like 3-minute things about like Yosemite or whatever and what's there. And so you start having them watch these videos, and they start going like, oh, like mountains and like literally, dude, we were watching some video the other day and the girl starts going, snow. She's like standing up cheering in the living room because she's seeing a mountain with snow on it. And then of course I just say to her like, do you want to go see a snowy mountain someday? And she goes, yeah. And then because up towards Seattle, there's Mount Rainier that's covered with snow all the time. So then the next time we drive up there, it's like snowy mountain. And then she's pumped about that. And so you can start instilling even the excitement in your living room before you even go. And it's only possible if, you know, you put your phone down for a bit and like, you know, get out of your own world and try to get into theirs for a little while. It's been so fun, dude. And they've just been really enjoying it. And the adventure thing even extends to, because we've been doing a lot of hiking and stuff, and we'll go off the trail. Oh, we'll go off the trail. Yeah, the Daverns will go off the trail.
Ooh.
And so the kids will get like, you know, kind of like, there's sticker bushes out there and stuff, you know? So they'll get like some nicks and stuff on their shins, and sometimes they're wearing shorts and whatever. And it's funny because like around the campfire, one of the first nights on one of these trips, the boy was like, oh, Dad, look at this scratch like on my shin, you know? And I go, hey, man, adventure scratch. And he looks back at me and he's like, he kind of gave this like slow nod, like, that's right, old man, adventure scratch. And so now, everything is just, you know, when it's, and we're, by the way, we're talking scratches. We're not talking cuts. You know, there's a difference.
Right.
And
gashes.
So, And so now everything's just, hey man, adventure scratch. And I'm like, that's right. And then it becomes like this, you know, thing that he is prideful about and stuff. And then that's cool because now they're really into it. And anyway, I highly recommend it
because,
you know, the local trampoline place is shut down still. So you got to do something with them. And this is, it's all socially distanced and great fresh air. And yeah, why not? You know, just be smart about it, everybody. You know, when you go traipsing off out in the woods, have a plan, take some water with you, you know, have a whistle or whatever. Like, you know, do the basic, you know, sort of Boy Scout, Girl Scout preparedness, right? But have fun out there. You know, there's a lot of little just day trips. I mean, I always say to everybody, and I know you'd agree, Nathan, like, so there's so many people who would be just so surprised at what is less than half a tank of gas from their house right now. And the beauty that exists out there within that stretch of miles. And go explore it, everybody. Get out there.
Yeah.
Do you think the Forest Service would sponsor us? Maybe the Forest Service would.
Maybe. Well, then again, their budget's probably a little bit lacking this year. So I don't know if they'd be able to necessarily do that. But, you know, maybe this is just a freebie. This is just our contribution to society. Although you do raise a good point. I will say, go ahead.
Oh, no, I didn't have it. I was just going to say maybe we could have Smokey the Bear as a guest. I was going to make a dumb joke. Keep going.
Oh, ha, 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 ha. Anyway, what I was going to say was you do make a good point, though. Preparedness is key to an enjoyable experience because we had our own, like, before we got there, my father-in-law went on a day hike and came back to find that a bear had torn up his tent and water filtration system.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, there's definitely like risks out there and you do have to be careful. And like we were on a hike and I kid you not, because of the way that the child carrier backpack that I have, the way that it sits on me, I kind of have to look down because of the way that it sort of pushes my neck. And I was in the lead on this trail and my mother-in-law, all of a sudden she whispers like, stop, 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 back up. And I look up and there is just a giant moose, probably 10 yards in front of me, who was laying across the trail and who stood up all surprised that I was about to walk up on him. And we almost had like a moose mauling on the trail. And, and so that was a whole, we had, and he like would not get on the, off the trail. We had to walk off trail and try to go around him. But then he thought that we were sneaking up on him. So he like turned around and kind of got, he like was getting ready to, you know, maybe defend himself. So that was a little scary. Ooh. But what made us feel good about it was that my father-in-law had a big old can of bear spray with him. So if for some reason that moose started like charging, we would run and get behind a tree and he would try and basically mace it and give us time to get around it. And it doesn't hurt them. It just makes their eyes sting for a little while and then it goes away, but they don't get hurt. We don't get hurt. And then everybody makes it home happy. But if we didn't have that bear spray, we would have been like, oh, crap. What do we even do when the moose is on the trail and we don't want to disturb him, but we also need to keep going and we don't know how long he's going to be there? You know, so like that, I guess, would be the thing is just be prepared for, you know, the things that you don't want to think might happen because they might and they do. But as long as you're prepared, it's no big deal.
Well, and also,
what I don't want to have happen is.
Also, too, I was going to say, like, even if you don't get out of the car, these highways are beautiful, too. And you can just drive them.
Yeah.
You don't even have to get out of the car. Mm-hmm. And you just see these views and these beautiful up in Los Padres where we were going. It's right kind of by the coast. So you get these clouds coming off the ocean, which push up against the mountains. So when you're on the ocean side of the mountains, it's kind of rainy and misty and kind of, you know, almost kind of spooky-ish a little bit. And then as you go up the mountain on just what is a state highway, you get above the clouds and you get these views where you're looking down on this sea of clouds. It's so beautiful. And then when you get to the other side of the mountain, it's the sunny side and you can see the mountains or the clouds coming over the mountain and evaporating immediately. And it's just, I don't know. When you haven't seen it for a long time, you go, man, this is better than Netflix. It just really is. Then, of course, the stars at night. And right now, there's a comet and everything, everybody. So, or I think they're, well, by the time this airs, it might be already over. But there's always periodic meteor showers and things that you can look up online or, you know, when it's going to be a full moon or something. And it's just, I don't know. It's cool. It's cool. Everybody, it's so cool. It's just so, nature's cool, man. Get out there and experience it.
It's cool.
If you got kids and stuff and you're looking for an activity, I think that the two of us couldn't recommend it enough. So,
yeah, for sure. I think what we also need to do is have our families do like a co-camping trip and report back on our findings because that would be an entertaining episode.
That would be fun, man. I think we're getting close to a time when we can do that. I think, as I've said all the way through this thing, no matter what news is released in regards to COVID-19, I'm going to give it an extra 10 days because it just changes immediately.
Yep.
But once it's like, hey, we got this under control, or better yet, the numbers are declining for, you know, a certain stretch of days, like I said, about 10 or more, I'm in with everything, man. I can't wait to get back to everything full tilt. It's going to be a good day.
But until then,
we'll just have to keep doing the best we can.
Exactly. But yeah, I want to get some inspiration from other people out there too for what you guys are thinking about doing for your sort of post-lockdown getting back out there in the world and what adventures you guys want to go on so that we can steal some ideas from you. So please, if you will, shoot us an email, radioactivedads@gmail.com. Shoot us a DM @radioactivedads on all our social media. We want to just kind of hear what you guys are going through and what you've been doing. Maybe something that we can talk about on the air for some activities and stuff just to sort of inspire other people. Let us know what you're up to so that we can mostly just hijack your ideas and try to entertain our children because, you know, we all just got to pool resources and knowledge at this point. But I guess that's probably all the time that we have for today, sadly. But thank you everybody for listening. Please do take care of yourselves. Wear a mask, watch your hands, not watch them, wash them. Well, watch them too, because they may have germs on them. Take care of yourselves and go out there and have an adventure this week. Just try it. Live dangerous. But Brett, I miss our conversations. I'm glad we got to have this one. And I look forward to the next one.
Me too, pal.
All right. Take care, everybody. We'll see you next week.